Even if you did capture the Avatar, it would not solve our problems. You must never give in to despair. Allow yourself to slip down that road, and you surrender to your lowest instincts. This is Uncle Iroh from Avatar, The Last Airbender. You are listening to a special presentation from Steambox, The Joyful Rebellion. In the darkest times, hope is something you give yourself.
Hi, this is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast. Right now, we have traveled. We have created some distance because Chloe from Central Falls, one of my Central Falls warriors, said, okay, so we need to push the mental wellness journey further. I'm starting my own podcast because I've been inspired by this podcast and I want to explore more. So one of the ideas we had was to figure out the differences between West Coast and East Coast. Is that about right, Chloe? Thank you for nodding your head. All of our audience on the podcast
is going to be like, that's what's up. Hi.
So here we are. We have traveled from Rhode Island to Vegas. How many hours were we flying yesterday?
So many.
No.
Seven?
Was it seven?
7 hours.
So across the country.
Yeah, we went all the way. We went coast, pretty much coast to coast. We went pretty much coast to coast just to hear from you guys. We want to hear, we want to add you guys to the podcast and hear from you. So I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. They're the Warriors, Young Voices, Steambox. There's so many titles here, but we're gonna go with Steambox Joyful Rebellion. So, but I also want to give a shout out. So, we're in the Northeast Technical Career and Technical Academy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your thing? They're the Warriors. What are you guys?
The Eagles.
Eagles.
Okay, we got the Eagle. All right. So everybody from the Northeast Career and Technical Academy, get your energy together. Everybody from Young Voices, get your energy together. Everybody from Steambox, get your energy together. And please say what's up to the world.
What's up?
That's how we do it. That makes me feel, that was so good. First try. My new homie just walked in. First try. We got a lot of questions. I don't know. We won't even have enough time to cover all of the questions. But I'm hoping that somebody can give me what are some vague things in Las Vegas? A lot of this is about wellness. So, like, what are some vague things that are different in Vegas, you think, from Rhode Island?
I feel like one thing that would be, like, a really big difference would definitely be the size. Because, like, everyone was telling me about how their cafeteria is so much smaller than ours. So, and Rhode Island is, like, one of the smallest states in the U.S., to my knowledge. I'm sorry.
It is
the smallest thing.
The smallest, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
And just because Las Vegas is, like, such a tourist attraction, like, the Strip is so big, and with, like, so many, like, there's so many smart minds in Vegas, I feel like it's just, like, so, it's, like, it's just a really big difference, you know what I'm saying?
There's so many smart minds in Vegas, and then somebody pointed to you because you're from Classical. Obviously, the smart mind. The rest of us here are all dumb, but he's like, he acknowledged and bowed down to you from Classical.
Genius smart.
She definitely is smart. I called her an evil genius in the car. This is true.
She likes to gaslight people.
Not gaslight. Psychologically torture people.
Torturing her on the blade.
Do you guys know, I know this isn't mental wellness related, but do you guys know we don't have In-N-Out?
Yeah.
Is it only in the West Side?
Oh, sweet. Yes. Don't have that. Is that so crazy?
Bro, you guys need
it. It's not even all that. We had some already.
It was decent.
Like the day here after football games, everybody goes in.
I prefer Charlie's for the cheese steaks.
Don't start a gang war. But please, one voice at a time, just because it gets drowned out on podcast.
Mm.
But I do want to say, instead, we've got Five Guys. So when we came in, psychological torturer found an off-menu item, and she had this sick burger while we ordered basic B-word foods from In-N-Out. What did you have?
I had a 4x2 with onions, lettuce, and tomatoes. I had an animal-style fries with strawberry motion.
I'm watching her eat this. You know what? That's going to be the cover of this podcast, is going to be eating that burger.
Oh, dude. Actually, I'm going to pull up the picture.
And she's like, you could have ordered that. I'm like, how? You didn't share this information. But hold up. Anybody else from Rhode Island, as you were pulling up, because he was talking about the size, right? The size difference in the school, because he heard you talking about context. For our audience, was there anybody from Rhode Island as we pulled up to the school that thought, oh, man, wow.
I thought it was a college.
You thought it was a college?
Yeah, yeah, that was a campus.
My college campus. Is smaller than this whole place. Like, it's...
I put Cheetos on it.
The life of it. I've never seen a cafeteria this big. Never. I'm like, are we just broke? Or what's like, the problem?
It's bigger than URI. Like, URI's big.
URI's
I love
huge.
URI.
And they're...
Hell?
And our public high schools are way
bigger. No, they're way bigger.
Like,
no,
like
no, is way bigger.
Right
like,
now,
I would, like, die.
Right now, we have, like, about, like, 700 students. Most public high schools have around 3,000.
3,000? Like, Legacy? There's, like, 3,000 people in Rhode Island.
Like, guys from Rhode Island, guys are from a small state.
Yeah.
Or from, like, a bigger state than Rhode Island. So, of course, our high schools and everything else is going to be bigger.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. It's not all proportionate, though, right? Like, our buildings are kind of the same. Our cars are the same size.
Well, not,
I thought the schools were...
not in that sense. But I feel like since you guys say you guys are the smallest, and we're one of the bigger states because of the different, like, coast that we're in.
Yep.
It will explain, like, the differences of, like, buildings. Since you guys have, like, three high schools together, we only have two. And then, yeah, Legacy is bigger than North.
Yeah.
Damn.
Good point. Think. Who's at Central Falls? You're in Central Falls High School. How many Central Falls High Schools do you think you could fit into this campus?
Oh, just in this room, we could fit everybody. Because, listen, our city, Central Falls, is a square mile. You go in the high school, it's only like 300, 500.
Not all the cities like that in Rhode Island are like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, no.
Central has almost 2,000 students.
Yeah.
Even though it's a small school. It's Same. Cramped in there.
It's really...
Okay.
I hate that.
So school. How many physical, not even the students, how many physical Central high schools, like the building, how many physical Central high schools can you fit onto this campus, do you think?
Like...
Well, ours is just seven. Whole with the
but.
Yeah,
Central's like E-shaped.
Seven.
You say seven?
Seven. Yeah.
Yeah, seven.
So I mean.
I mean, my school has like two buildings. It has like. Exactly.
Yeah, we don't even have a guard.
We have the main building, and then we have the athletic complex.
So we pointed out size. We pointed out size as being an obvious big difference. But some of my people were thinking of other things that they wanted to know from you. So thank you for being here to answer some of these questions. Who wants to start? Which one?
I think.
Go ahead.
I said, is there any stereotypes that come with living in Vegas? If so, what are they?
What are some stereotypes for living in Rhode Island, do you think?
I feel like stereotypes. Stereotypes.
You have one?
I can name a few CF stereotypes. CF.
Central Falls to Rhode Island.
We're basically the ghetto city, but yeah, it is ghetto. Never mind.
Really?
I would think Providence.
Yeah, no, I'm from Providence. Like,
yeah, no,
yeah, I'm
Broad
on,
Street?
I live on the ghetto side. I live on Broad,
like Broad Street.
Street.
Yeah, yeah, Broad Street. That okay.
Don't
Broad
talk too much like, about Broad Street.
Okay. Broad Street is like really long street. It has like so many different cultures.
Yeah,
but it's like really poor and like a lot of violence.
I haven't guns. Been to Central Falls.
Criminals.
Really.
So what are some stereotypes that you think are fair about Vegas, and what are some stereotypes that you think are unfair about Vegas?
I feel like because we're so casino-oriented that, like, sometimes people forget that this is actually, like, people that live here. Mm-hmm. And actual teenagers, because everything's oriented to, like, 21 and plus. Mm-hmm. So there's not much for us to do here other than, like, maybe, like, movies, and that's, like, really it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really similar to Rhode Island because there's barely any fun things to do without
what?
I think maybe because it's hidden.
It's hidden.
No, because you were talking about how you couldn't even go to do karaoke after 9 p.m.
Yes. Well, that's because that's 21 plus, but that's one karaoke.
But I'm talking about like without like driving so far. Like the only thing that I have to stop. I don't have a car. I have to walk to most places.
Exactly.
Even going to East Providence, right. It's an hour walk.
Okay.
So, like, I'm saying that the only things that are fun to do for teenagers in our schools, what we do is go to the mall, go to the movies, and probably just do after-school programs. That's it.
Yeah.
She said, can you say that louder, please?
It's the same for us because here you have to be at least 18 or older to actually be out in the casinos alone without a part kid. A parent, yeah. But it's really just, there's a certain deadline that you have to be out of the casinos if you're under 18, like at 7. Like, for example, Sam's selling the casino. You have to be out by 7 if you're younger, 17 or 8.
Yeah.
So,
okay, Andrea,
can I ask a follow-up question to this? Go ahead.
Because, like, Rhode Island, right, we have a pass. It's, like, vertical, and it's not typed out like this. The teachers have to write it down there. Can I see that? That's so cool. Do you guys have passes like this?
Not vertical.
No.
My teachers use, like, you know, like the
lanyards?
No, like the thingies with the chalkboard, and you have to, like, write when you're going.
Oh, awkward.
Not the chalkboard, but it's like, it looks like a chalkboard. It's like a, it looks like a whiteboard, but there's, like, a paper inside of it. And, like, there's different colors for each hallway. And then, like, you have to write your name if you're going to the bathroom or you're going to the nurse. You know?
Mine has two. We have the vertical blue pass, which is you have to check off where you're going, and the teacher has a sign, like, the date and everything. And they
have that, too, but that's for, like, guidance.
And then if you need to go to the bathroom.
Hey, what did you want to add?
We have the yellow pass, so it's all electronic. So, like, even in, like, yes.
Do you guys have that, too?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So, like, you have to go on your computer because we have yonder pouches, so we can't even go on our
Do you know what yonder pouches are?
Yeah, they're trying to implement them, bring to work.
I called it.
We just got some.
Oh, God. It's really bad.
Is anybody excited for yonder pouches?
Oh, what?
I really hope
I put a fake one in there.
Yeah. Put a block in there.
Oh, I have a trap phone.
I didn't think of that. What do you call it? Like a decoy phone?
Yeah.
Trap phone.
I use my super old phone that I had in third.
Yeah. See? I have an egg.
Exactly.
If you are Eric's romantic partner in the future, just watch out, because this dude got trap phones.
Yeah.
He's got trap SIM cards. He's ready to go.
I don't think they're going to believe you if you give them a flip phone.
Yo.
What?
I mean, some buttons are missing.
Oh, I had that when I got grounded.
What? Somebody was adding something. What were you saying?
Yeah, I think it probably wouldn't even work with it on face. Like, until, like, birth teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello, Kenya.
Some teachers don't.
If you put, like, a camera behind the phone case.
Like, we have a teacher that is optional to put it, like, where we have to put it on the phone. But other teachers, they are mandatory. As long as you didn't even in your diaper, you're good.
Yeah.
Does the idea... I'm sorry, go ahead.
With ours, like, literally recently, so we got at the beginning of the year, we used the yonder pouches. You have to, like, use the magnet, blah, 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 all that. And you can't use it until the end of the day. And teachers don't take it. We hold on to it. And then recently, they just noticed that we stopped using it. Like, no one cared anymore because no one was at the doors to unlock it. But now, before break, because we're on break right now, they started implementing it again. So now, like, no one's on their phones. You have to put your AirPods in there. You have to put Apple Watches in there. And then everyone's just bringing their iPads in.
Yeah, with you. I'm so glad I got an iPad for Christmas.
I described to some of us in the room what Steambox does earlier. And we've had a lot of fortune. We've been able to do a lot of big things. One of the things was we got MacBooks for a large group of our students last year. And I was told that they can't even access them at their school now. Like, they've made it so that they can't even use the MacBooks. They got to use the real shitty Chromebooks that the school gives you. When I got these, like, MacBook Pros for the students, it doesn't make sense to me.
What school did you give it to?
It was with the students in Central Falls High School.
Oh.
Sorry. Next time. But my thing is, there's so many different areas. Like, I want to hear from everybody about so many different things. But, like, the two things that are popping in my mind right now, I'm going to try to be as fast as possible, is I'm from the 1900s, which is, I know. Well,
you say like that sounds.
When I had homework and stuff, if the teachers were trying to get me to learn something, I had to go to the library, I had to look it up, and it was this big process, and it took hours. And right now, I could literally Google something in 5 minutes. I'm a sound engineer. I went to Emerson College in Boston, and the 4 years of school taught me so many different techniques, and now I'm teaching them to my students through artificial intelligence and using prompts to do the same stuff that I learned for 4 years and paid all that money for. I can teach them how to do that stuff in 1 hour, right? So, like, if you have that technology, isn't it almost criminal to take it away, is question number one. Question number two is, and you can answer any of these in any order you want, or we can switch the subject, but question number two is, if this is a podcast about mental wellness, I know that taking my phone away makes me mentally unwell. The idea of having to part with my phone, does anybody have, would you say, not, I'm worried about it, or I wish I had my phone so I can play whatever Android app, but does anybody feel like they have, like, for real anxiety from having to give up their phone? I know that you guys don't yet, but the idea of that in the future, is that a thing?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't.
Not much.
Oh, that's a very thing, because I feel like most of us can't live without our phones, and some of us aren't so attached to them as other people are.
because some of them just use it on a daily basis and some of us have activities replace the time on the phone, kind of.
Yeah.
It makes super sense to me. I'm afraid that somebody would say back to you that you shouldn't have to not be able to live without your phone, so you should learn in the real world. But what's some pushback to that? What are some real valuable things that you can do on your phone? And then I'm coming to you after.
So real valuable things that, like, we as, like, especially teenagers could do, like, on our phones. Like, we could communicate with people because, like, back in, like, when they didn't have the internet and stuff, it was harder. You have to, like, walk or pay phone. I'm not sure what they really had back then.
Wait, what is that thing that you always had?
Pager.
Pager.
Pager, yeah, pagers. But now I just feel like in today's society, they really, like, have us set on phones based on how certain jobs are, et cetera. Especially here, we're all in our Chromebooks all the time, 24/7.
Yep. What'd you want
to? I was, like, going to say that, like, I feel like it's, like, a loss of knowledge in a way, because with our phones, like, let's say we don't know how to change our tire, we could search that up on YouTube real quick. But back then, they would have to have known that already or have had some knowledge base because they don't have that access to technology. Like, back then, you would have to carry a phone, like, a camera, a flashlight, a calculator. But now we have that all accessed in one device.
The words that really struck me were loss of knowledge. Loss of knowledge. Does anybody see why that's ironic from a school?
Oh, because I feel like, because definitely in a school, you want to get as much as knowledge as possible.
Yep. My man, what's your name? Omar. Omar, since you're so far away, super loud, please. We're from Rhode Island, and we're trying to figure out what are some things that you think might be different here in Vegas that we might not know about that we should know about.
So, wait.
Exaggeratingly loud, Omar.
I thought, like, the difference between culture or more like technology? Well,
let's go culture.
Over in Rhode Island,
I don't know if there's a lot of diversity with it. Diversity.
Okay. Yeah, do you feel like there is a lot of diversity here?
Yeah.
Okay. my students are pointing out that we've got we came with four different races, and it was not even like it wasn't planned that way. I wasn't like, I'm gonna capture them all like Pokemon and then different. That's not what I did. It just worked out that way. Yeah, so I mean, I think this is very reflective of, so it's weird because I'm going to push back the opposite, right? So now I'm throwing a challenge at you. Because my experience here, I've only been here once before, but I've been in Arizona and a couple of other places. My experience here is that it's white and brown, right? And I know that sometimes having like all brown feels diverse because to white people it's diverse. But it's kind of homogenous. Homogenous means like all one race, right? If it's all kind of white and brown. And obviously from this table, I know that it's not all white and brown. But I'm saying, is it a really good mix or is it mostly white and brown? Interesting.
What about black?
What about black?
Over here.
We're not seeing a lot of
that. Honestly, it depends like what school or like what area of school.
Yeah. It definitely depends on the area. Like if you were to go to schools like Shadow Ridge or Arborview, which are more towards this side, like just in the richer schools, the higher houses, like you'll see a lot of like over $5,000 house.
I thought you were going to tell me the black people live in the richer neighborhoods. I was starting to celebrate. I was getting really excited and happy. I was getting excited.
Oh, where they mainly like reside in, mainly
yeah.
Towards this area or east side or even like, north side.
But Alexi, like, it's a whole different story. Really.
Wait, so east side for you is like the.
I live on the east side. I live on the east side as well.
It's more like
Mexican.
Yeah, definitely like east side is where like all like the cholos, all the fools are there.
Yeah, that was about it. East side like, for us is where.
The gangsters there. People.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Our east side is like that's where like the rich people and like Harry Potter house live, and like the even in
war,
on my god, the bus and like the white people have their east side people have their own bus,
Yeah. And the rest of us have to take public transportation.
I didn't know that.
That's why I was saying, oh, yeah, they have a bus that picks them up and goes beep, beep, so that they don't have to
Beep, beep. She's making it sound more like a Rosa Parks situation. It's probably a little less like, but it's still not a good look. Like, so she's right. She's not wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah, is what I'm saying. You were going to add something. I see you, and then back to Kent.
Well, on the east side, you know, more towards the mountains, on our east side, there's a lot of rich houses, but there's also very old apartments or being down houses. So it very varies, if that makes sense. Because, like, higher up, there's going to be nicer houses, and a little lower, there's, like, middle-aged houses, and again, there's higher houses. So it's, like, really diverse between the houses as well, not just the people.
But I feel like that's all around Vegas, because if you go, like, towards the mountains, there's really big houses, because there's not less, like, there's less people over there. But if you go more to the central of Vegas, there's less
space. We saw that while driving.
Yeah. Kind of, you the hearts. What's the liberty? Okay. Is that for your name and initials?
As part of it.
All right. Thank you for sharing. You said mountains. Don't forget your point. Since we're talking about wellness and you mentioned mountains, I know this is a hippie question. Please forgive me for asking this question. But does the scenery of the mountains, does that actually contribute to your wellness? Does anybody ever feel like zen from that?
Like looking at the mountain.
I would.
They kind of look fake.
Hey, wait. Who's going? Who am I going to? Go ahead.
Oh, you're there. I feel like it's really nice. I definitely like it, like, especially in the morning, like, when I'm driving to school. It just looks really nice, and it gives, like, a positive spin.
Okay.
In my old apartments, I used to have, like, a really clear view of the mountains, and every morning, like, I would see the sunrise every single morning, but I moved to never seeing it anymore. But it was really, really nice, like, extremely nice, and that really just made a really good impact on my day specifically, because I'm a very outside girl. Like, I love being outside. So, it's like, just seeing it outside and just seeing the weather is really calming to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because I had cousins that lived, like, super far on the east side, like, super on the east side, like right on the mountains. Like, their house was going uphill. And I remember going to their house with on, like, New Year's or 4th of July. And we would just go all the way uphill, and we could see the entire city. And you could just see all the fireworks, and it's so nice. Yeah, but especially at, like, nighttime or like sneaking out, it's like, it's just, like, so nice.
Especially because, yeah, like, at nighttime, you see the whole city, it's all lit up with the lights.
You see the strip. Yeah. It's like aesthetic.
Mountains, love them, hate them, or whatever.
Love them. Like she said, like, whenever I walk to school, to the bus stop, it's like, whenever I could be doing something else, sometimes I'll be, like, looking up. Or, like, whenever I'm waiting at the bus stop, it's, like, I could be, like, reading a book or something. But, like, I'm looking up, and I'm just, it's like a distraction from a lot of things.
So you guys get a job offer to come work in Rhode Island. Please have the next question ready, because I'm coming to you guys next. You guys have a job offer to come to Rhode Island, and you're like, I think I'm going to take it because this job offer is really good. The idea of leaving the desert and coming to an area that has four seasons and oceans.
Mm-hmm. A lot of oceans.
Is that...
A lot of lakes.
I know change. I know change causes anxiety. So forgetting about the change for just a second, the idea of scenery, is that something that you feel like would be maybe a nice change? Or is that something that you feel like would be like, hell no? I saw you nodding.
I say yes, definitely. Because I feel like, well, I don't know. I'll speak for myself. But I feel like I grew up around a lot of darkness and not a lot of seasonal changes or like snow. We usually get a lot of rain here, but then there's years where we're like barely getting any rain, and then like recently it just rained and like it's been cloudy all morning, but now you see it's really like light outside. So I feel like we kind of need the variations of different seasons and just being able to see snow and then, you know, rain and then like just some
fall and everything.
Yeah,
actually here I feel like we don't get the four seasons. Either we get cold or we get hot.
Really
spring or fall.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just gonna add on, because that's the reason I moved to Rhode Island. I originally lived in Utah, and like my mom was like, there's no seasons, like we just moved to the oak.
What's been the difference for you in terms of scenery, and how does that impact you emotionally?
I definitely didn't like it because I moved right before COVID, so like I definitely didn't like it at all.
And, like, especially leaving, like, I grew up in Utah, so leaving my family, my friends, and, like, all the culture there definitely, like, made me see the world different, or this country especially differently.
Next question.
Okay.
What?
You said
it's on Audi.
Okay. What are some things did you grow up with in Vegas?
What?
Oh, somebody just mentioned... Somebody, you just mentioned, which one of you mentioned snow? She mentioned snow. We have snowball fights.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes involuntary snowball fights.
You're
causing concussions.
Wallops with snow.
I got hit with a block of ice.
We have snowball fights. Have you guys had snowball fights? Is that a thing?
No.
I've never had a snowball fight.
So,
I mean, I have because I've lived in South Carolina and Texas for a while, but not since I moved here. But I just moved here, really.
Yeah. So that brings me back to your question. Can you repeat it?
What are some things did you grow up with in Vegas?
So what did you, since you didn't grow up with snowball fights, what did you grow up with in Vegas that might be, especially you get more extra points for being more unique to Vegas?
I feel like one thing that I grew up with, I'm not like for me, I wouldn't, like, know about any other people. I grew up with more on, like, the lower class side of Vegas. So I grew up with, like the... I always, like, try and get as many coupons as possible. And, you know, stuff like that. It was so much fun. And I grew up with, like, a bunch of, like, broken old toys and Hot Wheels. And, like every other, like, small toy. And especially here, I grew up on a kind of poor side of Vegas. So I feel like there... I grew up with a lot of, like drunk people, like, a bunch of, like, gangs around the area. But... I feel like now I'm better.
Do you think that, one of my questions was, I was going to ask, do you guys feel unsafe, walking to school or walking to other places?
Sometimes,
okay.
Well, I feel like kids don't go out, after, it gets dark. Because it's just, you don't go nowhere near the strip if you're a kid at night. Something like that.
Why not?
I sweat a lot of...
Sure, there's, a lot of crazy... people out here. Also, on top of alcoholics and stuff, drugs is a really bad, especially bad out here, especially towards the strip. We have a lot of accidents. I remember we had an assembly recently about car accidents for sophomores, and they're talking about how this singular man killed a family, a family full in a van driving, drunk driving. And how this kid who goes to went to Shadow Ridge got killed from a drunk driver at 6 in the morning. So it's just
So is alcoholism one of the top things that you guys worry about in your community?
And drugs.
Drugs in general.
I feel like we're really affected by drugs because we grew up around it. Especially for me, when I was younger, I always used to go to the casinos and, be around smoking and be around alcohol. And it was just normalized for me to always be around that
atmosphere.
So we have, a place called KB or Kennedy Plaza. That's where, all the buses, the ripped up buses.
Central hub. Everybody from all the different communities entering the same area.
Everybody there. A whole bunch of fights, crackheads, crackheads and that all that stuff happens there. When we first came here, right, me and her saw posters of sex trafficking, human trafficking,
right, in the airport bathroom.
And then we kept seeing ads about that, and that started to get her scared, hey guys, stick together. And I know back in Rhode Island, we have a drug problem. I had no idea you guys also had a drug problem. I was also going to ask if I hope it doesn't offend any of you guys. Do you think you have a serious, human trafficking problem, kidnappings and things like that?
I think maybe closer to, Central Vegas, the strip, Especially, yes, I think Reno, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's, the only place where prostitution is, legal. Mm-hmm. So, we're kind of surrounded around that, too.
In Reno, Nevada, prostitution is legal. I did not know that.
Somewhere.
Sorry. Please. No.
Go ahead.
As well, I'm not just going to speak for, females only because I'm not a male, but, I feel females are
extremely scared to walk the streets alone at night here because there's a lot of kidnapping going on at night specifically.
Mm.
And then where I used to, well, kind of more to where I used to live, I would always get Amber Alerts, like, in the middle of the night or, like...
Saying I would always get Amber Alerts in the middle of the night, like, it's rare for us to get one. We get that. We've gotten them, but it's rare. But the language...
Only, like, 2 years.
The language that you just used made it seem frequent and enough to be one of those significant differences that we're talking about between cultures. And if we're talking about things that make us well and things that make us not well, I would imagine that that might be something that's on people's minds sometimes. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
But I don't know. I feel like as well as the whole alcoholism and the drug, everything with that is also a really big factor on why people don't want to walk the streets alone. But
I would definitely say what you did was mostly like people do. If we're going to go out, at least for me, if I'm going to go out with a group of friends, I know to like keep an eye on all of them and make sure that we're all like together and nobody like separate from each other, especially like if we're going like to, there's this mall, this big mall in the strip, sometimes you go basically make sure everybody's together. Or even like to the corners too, you never know what could happen. So like you have to like watch out where who you're going with, and make sure everybody gets back in the same like
time and area. I would like to kind of add on to that because like, I don't know, well, you guys know the by Sam's Town, like the big Walmart by Sam's Town?
Yeah.
There it is like a whole wall full of posters like, oh, kid missing. Wow. And then I was by the bathroom.
So many.
And like a bill, like basically a billboard.
I like, feel.
Like every scary. Walmart specifically, there's a ton of like posters of kids missing. Or like on street lights, like those street poles, there's like kids missing, dogs missing, person missing, like everything.
I have a question about that. With all of that, like, feeling of uncertainty and, like, not feeling safe and comfortable to, like, even go, sorry, to even go, you know, places without feeling like you might lose someone that day or something along those lines, how has that been impacting you guys' mental health and specifically when it comes to, like, maybe thoughts of hopelessness? Because sometimes it can feel like, I can't go out. Like, what am I supposed to be doing ever, right?
I think the main thing is that you just got to be smart and you got to think about what you're doing. As long as you know that all your family is, like, acting smart and they think before they do stuff, then I feel like you can ward off some of those feelings of hopelessness.
Are you guys feeling what I'm feeling? Like, there's, like, a sense of triumph here because when I'm listening to them, I think about our situation. I think about me as a dad who my son is your age. And I think, like, it's really bad out there. I want him to be smart about so many things. I teach him so many things. But listening to you talk casually, like, you're clearly not trying to exaggerate or anything. Like, you guys just tell me how it is. It actually sounds, like, significantly more intense here. But again, so you're so casual about it that it's just kind of become your norm.
They've become, like, desensitized to this.
Yeah. Have you met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... I wanted to... You guys were talking about, like, the sophomores, right?
Sophomores, yeah.
Had an assembly on drunk driving.
Or just driving in general for sophomores, since a lot of people are getting their permits, licenses, etc.
So, they just told me, your legal driving, like, it's 15, right?
15 and a half.
15 and a half?
Yeah.
Ours is, like, 16.
But... This is, like, with permit, right? 15 and a half.
Oh, permit. Oh,
so it's the same. Oh, never mind.
It's similar. It's similar. Sorry. It sounds like it's probably easier here, but still very similar.
Oh, okay. You can get your advice. That's 16. Or
yeah, you can. But 16. Then you can't, like, fully drive on your own until you're 18.
Okay. So yeah. it's still the same test, right?
You have to,
wait,
6 months after. And you have to have your permit for 6 months before you get your license. Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, same thing. So I was like, I thought it was like...
I think one of the reasons why it might feel different that, like, so many sophomores here are driving and not in Rhode Island is because Rhode Island, like, we're all so close to each other that we don't need cars as much. Like, it's still definitely
everything.
But we literally can, like, walk 10 minutes and, like, go in a whole different city. Like,
the only reason why my mom is pushing on me trying to drive is because I grew up without a car for, like, most of my life. And she wants me to get a car so she can use it, but I guess.
If you get a car, it's going to be a problem for the whole world. Let me tell you guys. Her mom has texted all of us throughout this whole trip.
Dinosaur emojis.
So we're giving a shout out to who?
My mama.
Yeah. Shout out to your mother. Shout out to your mother. Kim, what do you want
to
add?
I was just going to say, when I moved from this area towards Rhode Island, I got held back because of my age, because I barely hit the age limit there. So I'm a sophomore in Rhode Island, but I'd be a junior here because I was born in August, and then, like, right before the deadline, the school starts.
Oh, yeah.
And you literally achieve. Yeah. Like, it's the same timing. It's just different. So that's also why the sophomore.
I've talked to these guys as we came in, and I know we have 1,000 more questions, and I know we have like 3 or 4 more minutes. So I want to take it back to Chloe, who this is her initiative to take everybody here. We're working on a mental health day in May. I hope to share more information about that because I think we're actually going to try to do a simultaneous thing. I don't know if you guys, this school specifically, is going to be involved, but if you know Mr. Lang, who came in a minute ago, he's the one coordinating with me. So, Chloe, can you ask a last question before I take us out?
I think we can all agree America has a gun problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, back in Central Falls, I could be getting ready for bed, getting ready in the morning for school, and I'd hear gunshots behind my house, near my house, down the street. And I'd be like, because I have friends living nearby, I'd be like, hey, did you hear those gunshots? And they're like, yeah.
Always texting.
Yeah.
I used to, I just share again.
How does that make you feel?
Honestly, I'm desensitized to it now because the first time I heard it, I was like, what the hell?
Were you more scared of the plane than the gunshots in your actual neighborhood?
Yeah, I was more scared of the
plane. Okay, what's your
When I moved to Providence, I thought it was just fireworks and it was mid-November. I was like, no.
You don't know.
Yeah, I want to add to that because I think it was like 2 years ago. I heard like rustling outside, like, you know where my mailbox is?
Yeah.
My community mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
I heard rustling, like, shouting and stuff. I look outside my window. Then I see a man with a gun shooting towards like my neighbor's houses. And it was really scary. And I screamed. And I was like, oh, shit, he might shoot me. And then I was hiding and I called my mom.
We shouldn't be desensitized to this, but we are. What's it like here? I don't want to, I should probably do a trigger warning because you guys in sort of recent history had a tragic event here, a large scale tragic event.
Oh yeah. Mandalay.
Wow, you guys had several. You guys had several worldwide. No, we did. It's just stuff gets lost in the sauce because
there's so many.
Like the concert one was probably the one that hit our headlines.
Yes,
why not? Wait, what concert one?
It was the
Mandalay one.
No. Or what was it? Mandalay Bay.
Oh, just no, no.
So when stuff like that happens here, like, what are your thoughts? Are you guys desensitized to this now? Is it just kind of every day and you don't even worry about it anymore? What's that like?
I feel like definitely for me, like, if it happens to, like a big amount of people, like how it did at Mandalay Bay, I mean, I would definitely feel sad and I feel sorry for the families and everything. But I feel like if it just happens at my house, because there's been a good amount of drives by in my neighborhood, and I feel like it happens around my house. I wouldn't get worried, but I would just be like, oh wow, like it's happening again. But if it would definitely happen to like if it happened at a grocery store or like a Mandalay Bay, I'd be like, wow, that's so sad.
Did you have something to add earlier? I'm so sorry. Andrea, given the desensitization that we're talking about on both coasts, like, I'm sure you can say that that's not normal. This shouldn't be a norm. Do you have an idea of, like, is there something that we should do? Should we keep in mind things? Should we, like, should we seek help? Also, since we're talking to a largely brown community, I am from a brown community. I know that in my brown community, like seeking help, getting therapy and stuff like that, that's bitch shit, right? That's like, my language, I apologize, but like it's frowned upon because of the toxic masculinity and all those other things. What should we be thinking about if we wake up one day and like, yo, that's not normal, this is impacting me, what should my first thought be? Should I Google something? What should I do?
So I don't know if you guys are aware, but the suicide hotline, and it's for everyone. It's not just for people experiencing suicidal thoughts or ideation. It's for people who are experiencing crisis as a whole, and I work in the one in Rhode Island.
That's an important distinction.
Yes, and it is for everyone, and they're not, like, trying to track you down, and, like, they're not going to, like,
be like, oh, you're calling, so I'm going to call the cops on you. This is not how things work. The main focus is to support people in crisis. And the reality is, so many times we get so desensitized to the things that are going on. We don't realize that, like, emotionally, we might actually be in crisis, but we might not be realizing that we are because we're so go, go, go. We're like, well, I got to go to school. I got to get this done. Like, yeah, there was a shooting yesterday, but, like, I have an AP exam today.
Yeah.
Like, it can be so go, go, go that it can be really hard sometimes to see when you are experiencing crisis. So what I would say is when, as soon as you notice that something is, like, a little off, really look within. Be like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Like, has anything been triggering these feelings lately? Or has this been kind of like building over time? And when you do figure that out, like, what do I do now moving forward? Who do I have that I can trust to reach out for support? And
so going back to our Yonder Pouches, one of the biggest flaws I see, what if someone's having a medical emergency? What if there's a school shooting? Because mine and Cam's school, we've gone into hard lockdowns twice this month. And we didn't, what was
at my son's school, the day they started the Yonder Pouches, the day we were talking about Yonder Pouches, because they don't have them, there was a stabbing at my son's school. And probably wasn't my son, but until you know, you're not safe. Mm-hmm. I was able to text him and be like, bro, you okay? I call him Son, bro, you okay? He's like, yeah. And he I was relieved. That was an emergency situation, and it happened on day one. Thank you for the Yonder Pouch stuff.
Sorry, I just want to, even though you close off, but so I'm president of our student council. Chloe recently resigned, but we were talking to our principal, like, our worries about it, and he's like, well, if anything happens, we just contact your parents. Every time we've gone into lockdown, they never contact our parents.
Wait, that happened to my sister.
I tell my mom when I'm home, or even, like, if you have a medical emergency, you have to go to an office, call on the school phone, and call your parent. No, you can't go to the nurse.
Wow.
You mind if I wrap up and then start with a question for you? One thing I don't, like, we jump right into the conversation, and I really appreciate you guys sharing with me right off the bat like that. I know it's not easy, and I know a lot of people don't kind of share like that. But I also, while I'm here, and even though I'm overtime right now, can you guys tell me, like, can we celebrate this school with the world? Is there one thing that the world should know about this school that's super dope? What's your favorite thing about this campus? My students, hold on, you shouldn't be clammed up because my students can tell you 10 things immediately that they love about this school. So my question is, and I'm going to start with you because I left off on you. What's your favorite thing about the Northeast Career and Technical Academy?
Like, my favorite thing about the school is how clean it is. I really like how clean the school is.
Like, fun school, honestly.
But at the same time, kids don't appreciate that. If you look at the staircase, they're brand new. And there's, like, gum on the floor, ketchup on the floor. That's like, you guys. This is just built.
And it's yours.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, and, like, I don't want, like, the future freshmen to come in and be like, wow, like, it was just built and it's a mess, you know?
Yeah.
Yo, take care of your school. That's a great point. Thank you. Give me two more things that you love about the school.
I like how our school is insanely safe because I was talking to some of my teachers and they have these little buttons. I think those little white buttons and you press it, whole school goes on lockdown. Whole entire school goes on. Those green gates you see shut down. I think the district has to shut them down or police have to shut them down once they go off and... Yeah, and I think it's really...
So you feel safe here?
Definitely, compared to...
Do all of you feel safe in your Rhode Island schools?
No.
Okay. Anyone can walk in.
Anyone can walk in.
I've watched kids get like, jumped. Oh, she's sure to look like a student going.
I don't want to just on schools because I know there's schools all over the world that are like this, but there's schools in Providence that when I walk in, I'm sick immediately because there's mold I'm allergic to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the only person allergic to mold. There's schools that are far more hazardous. Like, you should need one of those full yellow biohazards. What did you want to add?
The final thing. One thing that I really like about the school is like how accepting they were to me and to many of the kids. Cause I've been to other schools in the past, and I've been to other places in the past where I would get like hit on just cause I'm Mexican, or they would hate on me and they would diss on me just cause of my culture. And when I came here, I was kind of expecting some kids to like diss on me or like maybe even some staff. But no, everyone's like so accepting and so nice.
It's been love.
Yeah, it's all love here.
Yeah.
I think it's
so different from Rhode Island.
Yeah, well,
I'm about to like tear up.
Y'all, honestly, because I be even getting called slurs almost every day at school.
On the kindergarten, like, elementary, like middle school.
Hard R.
Very strange, bro.
Like, not very straight. I mean, obviously. But I was going to say, in our schools are really diverse. So it's like, how are this minority? Like, especially.
They're the minority. Exactly. Like, I'd be getting hate.
This is, apologies to you guys. This is the earliest we've ever recorded a podcast compared to when we're releasing it. This is going to be released in May with our Joyful Rebellion series. You guys, if you're interested, if you follow at SteamboxRI on social media, you will find all of our stuff. You'll find your podcast when the time comes. If you guys would indulge me, I'd love to take a quick group shot. I'd love to take a group photo for those of you who might be interested. And then see you guys off to your classes. Thank you so much for participating with Steambox. To our audience all around the world, this has been the number 2 podcast in the world this week. I'm sorry. We'll get it back up to number 1 with these guys. This has been the Steambox podcast. This has been the Joyful Rebellion 2024. I am here with my Young Voices homies, my Steambox homies, my Northeast Technical Career Academy. All of those homies, if you guys can gather up some energy and please say peace out to the world.
Peace.